It is time now for our Ask an Expert segment each weekday at this time on KCBS. We're giving you direct access to top experts in various fields related to the pandemic. Today, let's talk about skin reactions, both to the vaccine and to the coronavirus itself. Some people have had some annoying little reactions after the vaccination. And of course, earlier in the pandemic, many physicians began to notice different issues with the skin. Let's go to the KCBS Ring Central Newsline. We're joined by Dr. Esther Freeman, Director of Global Health Dermatology at Massachusetts General Hospital and Principal Investigator for the International COVID-19 Dermatology Registry. Dr. Freeman, thanks for your time. How are you today?
Oh, I'm a pleasure to be here. Thanks so much.
Let's talk a little about this registry. So this goes back a year, right? I mean, you and others put this together pretty early on in the pandemic, not looking at vaccine reactions at that time because we didn't have vaccines, but reactions to a COVID-19 case itself.
That's exactly right. So we actually launched almost exactly a year ago. We went live on April 9th in 2020. And the idea was really to capture the variety of different skin manifestations we were seeing from COVID-19 itself. The registry has grown over time. So we're right now at over 2,000 different case entries from 52 different countries and all continents except Antarctica. One thing to note about the registry is it's actually entered by healthcare providers rather than patients themselves. And so basically, if you had a skin rash related to COVID or to the COVID vaccine, you'd be asking your primary care doctor or your board certified dermatologist to be entering your reaction on your behalf.
Okay. And, you know, we all heard about COVID toe, I think, at the beginning. That was a headline grabbing kind of a term. Can you characterize what sorts of reactions there were enough of to see them as some kind of a trend?
Absolutely. So COVID toes is definitely one of the big ones and one of the ones we saw earlier on. The technical name for COVID toes is pernio or chilblains. And this is a kind of reaction that we normally see, you know, if you imagine a pre-pandemic world, which I realize at this point is actually kind of hard to put.
I don't remember that very
frame.
Well. Maybe you can remember for me.
And so imagine the time pre-pandemic. So occasionally we would see pernio or chilblains, which is basically this reaction where your toes turn a little bit red or purple or itchy after getting exposed to severely cold weather. Not quite the same as frostbite, but it's basically like an inflammatory reaction after cold temperatures. And, you know, here in Boston where it gets pretty cold, I might see like two or three of those cases over the course of a winter. So not super common, but it definitely happened. Now fast forward to March of 2020, and here I was in Boston. We were having a big surge at that time. And I have a lot of colleagues in San Francisco. I know you guys weren't having maybe quite as much of a surge as we were back in March or April, but you've since had some subsequent experiences. And I was having about 30 patients a day.
Wow.
With these new onset red and purple toes. So I just can't express the wave of how much we were seeing of this. And as it turns out, as we've dug more into this and learned a lot about this over the past year in our different research studies that we're doing, that this is actually a later stage kind of immune reaction to the virus. And this happens about 1 to 4 weeks after SARS-CoV-2 infection, kind of more in the post-acute period. And it can be red and swollen and purple toes. And they do go away. They can last a few weeks. And they themselves are not harmful. This isn't clots in your toes. So nothing to be particularly concerned about, but it is good to know that you may have had COVID. And what I tell people is you have to think about this as almost your toes were like an innocent bystander when your body had this actually very good and probably helpful immune response to the virus.
You know, that old phrase, the eyes are the window of the soul. Is the skin kind of a window into overall health, or are what you're seeing here specific to the skin?
Absolutely. I think that's a great way of putting it. We, like, of course, like to think in dermatology that the skin is all important. of course, I agree with you there. I do think that what we can see with these different skin reactions, and we talked about COVID toes, but there's actually a lot of different skin reactions in COVID-19. We see hives. We see these viral type rashes, otherwise we call them morbilliform rashes. They can look, you know, even measles-like. They're not measles, to be very clear, but they can look at these different viral rashes. And we see this huge range of different skin reactions that people are having to COVID-19. And it really seems to travel with how your body is responding to the virus. And we know that people have really different responses to the virus. I mean, you think about the fact that some people, you know, just lose their sense of smell for a week and others end up, you know, on a ventilator in the intensive care unit. So we already know that people have this hugely different immune response to the virus. And the skin is no different. So I think we really can view it as a window onto the soul. And so I can look at someone who has purple toes and say, hey, you know, congrats, your body actually did a pretty good job of controlling the virus. Only 16% of our patients who had that toe reaction were hospitalized, so very few. Whereas some of our other skin reactions, where we see this more like net-like bruising pattern on the skin that's not in the toes, called retiform purpura, 100% of those patients were hospitalized. So I think the skin really can be kind of a window into what's going on with the rest of the body.
Interesting. So let's fast forward. You started the dermatology registry around COVID a year ago, and then back in December when people started getting vaccinated, you added vaccine reactions. What have you learned so far? I know you've at least put some preliminary results out on this. We talked about it the other day briefly.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we launched Christmas Eve, actually, December 24th of this year, after the emergency use authorization for both Pfizer and Moderna had gone live. And so we knew that people were starting to get vaccinated. And we suspected that we would start to see some skin reactions to the vaccines, mostly because we see skin reactions to lots of different vaccines. So if nothing else, we were expecting that we would start to see, you know, some local skin reactions, maybe in the site of injection. So what we did is we set that out in the registry, and we evaluated the first 414 cases of skin reactions that we saw after Moderna and Pfizer vaccines. I will say we didn't evaluate Johnson & Johnson, and that was purely just because of when we did the data analysis. J&J had not yet been approved. So I just wanted to let you know that's not why we leave it out on purpose. It just wasn't approved at that time. And what we saw is a real variety of different skin rashes. I think probably one of the more famous, which has now been called COVID vaccine arm. Some people are calling it COVID arm, but I prefer COVID vaccine arm because it's not actually caused by COVID. It's related to the vaccine. We're seeing these delayed large local reactions in people's arms, typically after Moderna. We don't see it as much after Pfizer. And what happens is you get the vaccine, and then about a week later, you get like a big red splotch on your arm. And it can be a little panic-inducing because people said, hey, I got the vaccine a week ago. Why am I getting a reaction now? And that's actually just part of the immune response, this kind of delayed reaction. And the good news is you can go ahead and get your second vaccine. You actually have less than a 50% chance that it's going to happen again on your second vaccine. And if it does, it'll happen a little faster, maybe on day two or three. But really nothing to be deeply worried about.
Okay, well, let's get to some questions. People have lots of specifics they'd like to know about, and we'll go ahead and grab those questions from our email inbox at askus@kcbsradio.com. Our guest today is Dr. Esther Freeman, Director of Global Health Dermatology at Massachusetts General Hospital. She is the principal investigator for the International COVID-19 Dermatology Registry. Let's start with this one. Have you heard of COVID fingers, people getting chilblains in their fingers from COVID as along with their toes?
Yeah, great question. About 10% of our patients who have, either what we call COVID toes are actually COVID fingers. And so indeed, you can get this pernia or chilblain-like reaction in either your fingers or your toes. And occasionally, even we've seen it in nose or ears. I think we wanted to kind of stop with the COVID nose and COVID ears. This is a little too much. But yes, you can absolutely get COVID fingers. And we actually have seen this, I should mention, as a vaccine reaction as well. Sometimes people can get vaccinated. They can actually get, COVID toes or COVID fingers actually after the vaccine. And that's probably just because our body is really mimicking that same immune response that we might have to the virus itself.
Okay, next one. Today's subject is skin reactions to COVID vaccine. I've been wondering if the itchy bumps I've developed are due to the J&J vaccine I got a month ago today. I don't remember exactly what day they appeared, but it's been several weeks. There are small bumps and bigger bumps, like from small bug or larger mosquito bites on my neck, upper and lower back, sides, a couple on my abdomen, even a couple on my face yesterday that were small ones. I thought maybe they were skin allergies due to spring pollens, because I can't imagine getting bitten by this many bugs, and I can't really find any information online about this.
Yeah, so I would definitely encourage you, if you have any concerns about a particular rash, whether it may or may not be related to the COVID-19 vaccine, I'd really encourage you to reach out to your board-certified dermatologist. And this can actually be found online if you don't have a dermatologist. If you look at the American Academy of Dermatology, we have a Find a Dermatologist tool. And you can go ahead and insert your zip code, and it will direct you to a board-certified dermatologist. I actually know that a lot of the colleagues that we're working with specifically on vaccine skin reactions in the San Francisco area are based at UCSF, Dr. Aaron Amerson among them. So there's certainly lots of great local folks nearby that you could consult about that.
Okay. Next one. This one sounds kind of serious. I had my first Pfizer shot last Wednesday midday. By that night, my right eye began to be irritated and swelling, got worse every day until Tuesday when my eye was swollen shut, entire face irritated and itchy, wound up in the hospital. Now on 4 medications. I'm 53 and otherwise healthy. Should I be worried about the next injection? I guess the challenge at any time when we're doing these vaccinations is whether your reaction is to the vaccine or to something else that might be going on.
That's exactly right. And sometimes it can be really hard to tell. So definitely encourage. It sounds like that person's already getting some excellent health care, where you really want to go through the history and understand exactly what was going on at the time. Could there have been anything else going on? And also what I'd like to clarify, I think this is a really interesting question, is it brings up the concept of when are these rashes starting? So rashes that start within 4 hours of the injection need to be taken very seriously. That's part of an immediate immune reaction. It can be more in the category of hives or anaphylaxis, which is this kind of more severe immediate allergic reaction. And those reactions, according to CDC guidance, actually those patients need to be seen by an allergist or immunologist prior to getting their second COVID vaccine. So if you have a new rash that you think is related to the vaccine and it was in the first 4 hours of being vaccinated, that's a case where we would definitely want you to see allergy before proceeding with your second dose.
Okay.
Whereas if these reactions are starting later, then, you know, it's a different story.
Less troublesome. So, and by a rash, I mean, are we talking about a little blotch? How would you define something serious enough if it happens in the first few hours to seek attention for it?
Absolutely. So the way that the Centers for Disease Control defines this is as urticaria, which we commonly know as hives. And so if you have hives within the first 4 hours, that's definitely something. And I would say that a lot of significant swelling would probably also fall in that category.
Okay, so
your eyes,
this goes beyond a little itchy. This is something serious. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, next one. My 18-year-old scheduled for a vaccination this weekend. As a baby, she broke into a horrible head-to-toe rash 4 times before age 2 and a half. After multiple specialists and lots of tests, she was diagnosed as having had contact atopic dermatitis. She got it again at 4 when putting her hands in finger paint at school, at 7 when touching seaweed on the beach. Are there statistics on these? Where can I find data? How concerned should we be, and what precautions can we take for the shot?
Yeah, so I think unless there is, the CDC has specific contraindications to the vaccines, which actually there are very, very few. It's only if you have a proven allergy to a particular vaccine component, which are listed right on the CDC website. So unless you have an allergy specifically listed to one of the vaccine components that we know is in the vaccine, then you can go ahead and get vaccinated, even if you're someone who has sensitive or reactive skin. And there is, interestingly, a trial going on right now nationwide. I'm looking specifically at people with a history of atopic dermatitis or eczema to see if they get more vaccine skin reactions. But from what we know right now, I would feel very comfortable. Obviously, I can't give direct medical advice to an individual patient, but in terms of the CDC guidance, that's where we would go.
Okay. This next one, you brought up the word eczema. This one says, my husband did not have any immediate reaction to the Moderna vaccine, but in the weeks since his vaccination, he's experienced a return of eczema, which had been an issue for him years ago. Is there any chance this is connected to the vaccine?
I would probably give them a big maybe, which is not very satisfying, but I think we have to think that the vaccine really revs up our whole immune system. And so we can see that just things that we might react to normally or not get a big rash to when our whole immune system is just kind of revved up. And that's what we want it to be. We want it to create these great antibodies that are going to be protective against this life-threatening virus. So this is all, I would just to remind everyone, this is all a good thing, right? We actually want our immune systems to be revved up and respond nicely to these vaccines. So it's possible that it may trigger some other little rashes along the way, but certainly not something that we would be worried about, and that we'd certainly encourage, you know, excellent moisturization during those times.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, as a dermatologist, you're probably relishing taking a break from having to chastise people for their sun exposure. But, what should people think about in terms of skin care when these issues do crop up?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's true. A lot of my patients who I worry about getting sunburned and I worry about the risk of melanoma, you know, during various stay-home times this year have had a lot less sun than normal. So that's my small COVID silver lining, which you mentioned. So I would just say keep your skin well hydrated using a really nice bland moisturizer that doesn't contain a lot of fragrance. We prefer fragrance-free products just so it doesn't cause any irritation with the fragrances. And so just keeping your skin well moisturized, I think, is fine. And there's really nothing you have to do in advance of any of these vaccines. There's really no pre-medication necessary.
Okay. We hear a lot about long-lasting neurological or pulmonary symptoms from COVID-19, the long COVID stories. Are you seeing any long-lasting skin issues?
Yeah, great question. So indeed, we actually published a study on this recently in Lancet Infectious Diseases, looking specifically at how long different skin reactions can last on the skin. And exactly like these neurologic complications or cardiovascular complications, we can actually see long COVID on the skin. This can be known as long COVID, long haulers, post-acute COVID, lots of different synonyms of the same thing. What we see particularly is we've seen a lot of pernia or chilblains, also known as these COVID toes. I have a few patients where unfortunately it's actually lasted as long as 13 months now. And then I recently have also had some patients with urticaria or hives. For example, I have one patient who's had hives now for 90 days after having had COVID itself.
Okay, next one here. I received my second dose of the Moderna vaccine, no skin reactions to the vaccine, but I use a topical steroid for an existing skin condition. I've heard steroids could interfere with a recent vaccination. Could it reduce the efficacy of my vaccine if I use a prescription steroid lotion, such as betamethasone dipropionate? I hope I said that right.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. So that's a great question. So actually what the CDC is referring to when they talk about steroid use around vaccines is they're actually talking about oral steroids, specifically prednisone. And you have to be on moderate to high doses of prednisone. And even though we don't know for sure if it would interfere with your creation of antibodies, but certainly safer to, you know, think that it could. So in terms of topical steroids, the systemic absorption of that really is very low. So that is not as much of a concern. So where we're really worried about it is patients who are on high doses of oral steroids or oral prednisone for other conditions. And we are concerned that they may not mount quite the same antibody response. But for a topical cream, we aren't as worried.
No worries. Okay. Next one says, I had what I thought was an unusual reaction a couple of hours after the first dose of Pfizer vaccine. Two small, distinct raised bumps a couple of inches below the injection site. No pain, no itching. Within a few hours, they just vanished. Would this give any clues as to what I should expect with the second dose?
So again, I would say if they were, it's hard to say without seeing them. And so I would say going by our CDC guidance, if it was within the first 4 hours, and it's a possibility that those were hives within the first 4 hours, then I would certainly encourage that person to see an allergist prior to shot two.
All right. Next one, about 10 to 14 days after my second Moderna shot, I developed shingles. Is this a recognized side effect or complication? Maybe not your bailiwick, but then, of course, there are always questions about the shingles vaccine, a couple of them out there, and whether people should take them around the time of the COVID vaccine, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, great question. So we actually did note in our paper where we looked at the 414 different skin reactions after Moderna and Pfizer, we actually had 10 different reported cases of shingles, also known as zoster, that occurred usually in the kind of 1 to 2 week time frame after either the Pfizer or the Moderna vaccination. So I do think this is a true effect, and we've talked to a couple of immunologists about why this may be. And I think, as we said, like the whole immune system is just kind of revving up, and certain areas are activated and certain areas are depressed after this vaccine. And so we are seeing some shingles reactivation for folks. So I think this is a real effect, and I would certainly encourage that patient to ask their, you know, primary care doc or whoever saw them to enter their case in our registry. And, you know, I think it's a little too early to say in terms of whether the shingles vaccine, you know, can prevent this. I think we are seeing some of this in patients who've already had a shingles vaccine, but I think it could be helpful. We don't recommend that people get multiple different vaccines at the same time as the COVID vaccine. So we usually say, and according to CDC guidance, that you need to be at least 2 weeks away from your COVID vaccine for another vaccine.
Okay, we have another shingles one here. Somebody who developed a long red rash down the inside of his right leg, immediately suspected shingles. This was the day after round two of Pfizer. Started acyclovir, which controlled the outbreak in a couple of days. Doctor confirmed the diagnosis and treatment regimen. His question is, does taking a strong dosage course of an antiviral like acyclovir reduce the protective effect of the vaccine?
Yeah, great question. Again, I would love to see that case if their healthcare provider wanted to enter the case in our registry. The short answer is we don't really know, but we probably don't think so. So I would certainly say if that were me and I had active shingles, I would want it treated. And the likelihood that that's interfering with antibody production, I think, is quite low.
Okay.
We can't say zero, but I think pretty low.
But again, a shout out from what you just said to anybody who may be listening and has had one of these issues that generated today's questions. Maybe get back to your doc and say, go to this registry and enter the information.
Yeah, please do. It's AAD.org, which is the American Academy of Dermatology. So it's AAD.org/COVID registry. And it takes doctors about 4 minutes to enter a case. and patients themselves can't enter cases that have to be a healthcare provider. Got
it. Okay, good deal. We'll make sure there's a link to that when we post our story on today's segment so that any healthcare providers or their patients who are listening now will know. Let's make this the last one for you, Doctor. Wants to know, again, this is sort of the multiple vaccine question. Is it okay to get COVID vaccine for a 17-year-old who had the meningitis vaccine a month before?
Yeah, so I definitely have them talk to their own individual doctor. I believe the cutoff generally from the CDC is about 2 weeks, but I would have them reach out to their own individual doctor to discuss that.
Okay, good deal. Well, thanks so much for a lot of valuable information. We enjoyed talking with you today.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye. Dr. Esther Freeman is the Director of Global Health Dermatology at Massachusetts General Hospital, Principal Investigator for the International COVID-19 Dermatology Registry. And again, that registry is for healthcare providers only to enter information, but they do have a growing database of reports regarding various skin reactions to COVID-19, as well as to vaccines. We'll make sure to include a link to that registry in the story that goes up later today at kcbsradio.com/askanexpert.